You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
My name is Reynu, if you don't know me, and I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway. And, you know, I'm so thankful for this privilege to come around the Word with you this morning. And as Pastor Ozzy had said, today we are starting a two-part series called Ambassadors. And, you know, we're really going to unpack and come around the Word of God to learn and reflect about what it means to be Jesus's representatives here on it. So today, part one, week one, I'm going to speak about how you and I are representatives of Christ, how this is our mission, this is our message, and this is our mandate to be Jesus's representatives here on earth. And then we deliberately placed these messages around prayer and fasting because over the next week in our prayer and fasting, we're going to take time to ask God to stir our hearts, to put people on our hearts that we can pray for, that we can reach with the mission, with the good news of Jesus. And then through that week of prayer and fasting, continue to pray and declare that God will prepare their hearts, but prepare us with the words to speak. And then week two, we've got Pastor Ozzy next week speaking on how do we outwork this? How do we practically be Jesus' representatives here on earth? And you know, my prayer with these message series, my prayer through this week of prayer and fasting is that Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts so clearly. Holy Spirit would put someone, one person, two person, you know, the power of us one reaching the one with a word for them, with them hearing the good news of Jesus. You know, it wouldn't just be words that we go away hearing, but Holy Spirit will speak to us personally that who can I share the message of hope with? Who can you share the message of hope with? So would you join me as we open in prayer? Lord God, I just thank you that you are so committed to each and every person knowing you. I just thank you that you are a good and faithful God. And Holy Spirit, as I speak this morning, I just declare that you would speak to each of our hearts, that you are the teacher, you are the counselor, you are the guide. So you would speak to each one of us personally as only you can. In your name we pray. Amen. So, has anyone here ever represented someone or something at school? Anyone here ever did cross country at school and ran for your house? Or did you call in sick that day? Anyone do that on cross country day? Yeah, call in sick. Yeah, no one wants to run a few Ks for no reason just to represent your house. Have you ever represented your school at sports or at swimming day, swimming carnival? Anyone a swimmer here? No, I'm not a swimmer either. Have you ever represented your workplace? Anyone wear a work uniform that might have a logo or drive a work vehicle? Has anyone driven a work vehicle before? Yep. You know, there's lots of different things we can represent in, like people who represent Australia. They wear the green and gold, the Olympics, and it's like they represent their country. I'm also aware of when I'm representing my workplace, when I've driven the work car. And Trent and Fia, I don't know if you can relate to this. When the car has got the logo on it, you drive extra carefully. Because the last thing you want is a phone call to your workplace or someone calling the business and saying, there was a mad driver on the road. You know, where you might be a bit of a lead foot in your own car, as soon as you're representing your workplace, you're very aware of your behavior. You know, if you're in school, if you've got a school uniform, when you wear that school uniform logo, you're very aware of, oh, actually, I'm representing my school in this moment, or I'm representing my workplace. But you know, when I thought about that, I thought about when we represent someone or something, the way we live, the way we speak, the way we behave, the way we treat other people, it can become a reflection of the one or the organization that we represent. You know, my friends, can I encourage you today that the truth is that we represent Jesus. As followers of Jesus, as his church, we represent him. We are called to be the light of the world, shining through the things we do, so God is glorified. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp, then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You and I are called to be the light of the world, to shine his light so people will see the good deeds we do and glorify God. See, my friends, you and I are Jesus' representatives here on earth. What a great encouragement that the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God who is sovereign over all, he chooses you and I to represent him on earth, to shine his light to the world. You know, there's multiple accounts in the Bible where people, where disciples, followers of Jesus, just like you and I, acted as Jesus' representatives. I think of Philip and the Ethiopian. I think of Paul and Silas speaking to the man in prison. I think of Peter and John speaking to the lame man at Gate Beautiful. Time and time again, we see accounts where people acted as Jesus' representatives. But you know, the same applies to us today. that we are called to be Jesus' ambassadors. A passage in the Bible that speaks about us being ambassadors is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at that passage today. But in the first part of verse 20, it says this, "So we are Christ's ambassadors," which literally translates to mean an elder or senior, but it's used in the context of being an ambassador or a representative. So let's look at this passage today to understand our role as Jesus' ambassadors. To give you some context, though, Paul was writing this letter to the church in Corinth. He was explaining his motivation, their motivation for ministry, why they do what they do. In verses 14 to 16, Paul says that Jesus' love compels them to do what they do. That's their motivation. But because of the new life they've received in Jesus, that means they live for him now. He continues and encourages the church to do the same in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 21. So if you've got your Bibles with you, if you've got your Bible app on your phone, why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 21. It'll also be up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, starting at verse 17. "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us, he gave you and I, this wonderful message of reconciliation." Verse 20, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ." What an encouragement that you and I are Christ's ambassadors, that you are Jesus' representatives, that Jocelyn, you are Jesus' representative to your family. Dee, you are Jesus' representative in school. Joanne, you are Jesus' representative in your workplace. Sonia, that you are Christ's ambassador, that each and every one of us are called to be Jesus' representatives in wherever our sphere of influence is. But you know, the first thing I notice when I read this passage is in verse 17. You and I are made new in Jesus. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Can I encourage you this morning? The things of our past no longer have to have a hold on us. That we are created as new creations in Christ. You know, the reality is we all go through stuff. There may be hurts, there may be trauma, there may be baggage we carry. And it is imperative that we go on this journey of working through these things, allowing healing, restoration, and rebuilding to take place in our life. You know, this may involve speaking to a pastor, a counselor, a professional psychologist. But can I encourage you that know that because of faith in Jesus, you have new life. You are a new creation. This can empower us to live differently. Let me encourage you from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. It says this, "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." We can ask Holy Spirit to help us change our thoughts and attitudes, as it said in verse 23. But in verse 24, it says, "Put on your new nature." You know, in other versions, it says, "Clothe yourself, new nature. Put on this new nature." Now, I'd love to survey the room with this, and this might divide the room a little bit. How many people here love new clothes? You can be honest. Love new outfits, love planning new outfits. Yeah? All right, how many people are like, oh, you love your old faithful, the stuff that you kind of wear over and over again, the familiar stuff? Yes. I'd be the first to admit, like, I'm the second category. Like, I probably, because I wear a work uniform most of the week, like, I probably wear the same four or five outfits to church and rotate through them. Anyone else a bit like that? You're like, you got your Sunday clothes that you rotate and there you're all comfortable. And, you know, I kind of was thinking about that in terms of the new clothes, but, you know, something, because I rotate through the same outfits, when I wear something new, some people go, oh, that's new, that's different, you look different. And I wonder if that's a bit sometimes what putting your new nature is on like, you know, that we were like someone way before, where we put on a new outfit, we put on Christ-like attitudes, we put on Christ-like behavior, and we ask God, would you renew my thoughts, would you renew my attitudes, and we put on our new nature, created anew in Christ, so that we can represent him well. See, can I encourage you that this is something we can do, because as ambassadors, it's not just about what we say or what we declare in this space, but how we act out in the world matters even more than what we say in here. And, you know, I don't mean that to be heavy-hearted or, you know, to be like so firm, but let it be an encouragement to us. Let it be something that stirs our heart, that how we live matters. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 to 6 says this: live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you have the right response for everyone. You know, the duality of it for me is that I find that a great encouragement. Like, you know, we can have attractive, gracious conversation. But it's also a good reminder that how I live matters. How I treat people matters. How I speak to people matters. What I post on social media matters. See, I was encouraged, this a reminder of this, when a friend of mine from the gym who is not at church, you know, he sent me a text after I coached a class, and he said, you know, I love and care for people well. He said in the text that Jesus would give me a high five if he came to CrossFit Barwon. Now, that was like a very simple kind of small encouragement. But, you know, for me, I was like, that was such a significant thing because I want that to be the hallmark of my life. I want that to be the hallmark of life, beyond anything else, that people would say, hey, she represents Jesus well. She shines Jesus' lights well. And hear my heart here. I don't say this in any way to blow my own trumpet or tell you how good I am, but to encourage you that people see how you treat them. People see how you love them. People see how you respond under pressure. And we have the opportunity to represent Jesus well, to shine his light. But can I encourage you once again that you don't have to do this all on your own strength? You know, let's be honest, we all have off days at times. We all have days where we might not feel like we can step out in this. But God is working in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this: so all of us who have had that veil removed, which also can mean to know Jesus, can see and reflect the glory of God. Warren, you see and reflect the glory of God in what you do. Chrissy, you see and reflect the glory of God in what you do. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like him. Daniel, Monica, the Lord, whose Spirit, makes you more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. See, can I encourage you? There's an action of putting on, of clothing ourselves in our new nature. That's our part. Be encouraged. Holy Spirit helps us become more and more like Jesus. Jesus' power is working in and through you so that you and I can reflect him. So my friends, let me encourage you first that you and I are made new in Jesus. Choose to put on this new nature each and every day in all that you do. But you know, as you do this day by day, I want to draw 3 points out of this passage. Point number one, that you and I have a mission, if you're taking notes. Point number one, you and I have a mission. Let's read in verse 18. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And he has given this task of reconciling people to himself. See, this word task, the original word, which hopefully I say it right, diakonia, can be translated to mean support, ministry, service, help, mission, or task. That you and I have a task, my friends. You and I have a mission. What does it say? The task of reconciling people to God. Reconciling people to God. See, we heard about it in communion, the giving, that God reconciled people to himself through Jesus. That you and I have been reconciled to God through Jesus. We have found such a hope, such a joy, such a peace, as Pastor Naomi spoke about in communion prayer, through this reconciliation. So I ask you this morning, are there people in your world who you know need to experience that hope, that love, that peace that you've experienced? Do you know someone in your sphere of influence who has been searching for what you have found, who needs to be reconciled to God? Can I encourage you? We have a mission. You and I have a mission to be a part of seeing them reconciled to God through sharing the good news of Jesus. Mark 16:15 says, and he told them, this is Jesus speaking, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. How do we do this in our everyday life? You know, as I said, I don't want to steal her thunder because Pastor Ozzy's going to speak on this next week in the how do we outwork the mission? How do we reach people practically as ambassadors? But don't underestimate the power of talking and listening to people, asking questions to hear their story, loving people well, encouraging them, caring for them, being generous, as Pastor Rachel spoke about. Sharing your story about what Jesus has done in your life. There's such power in your testimony. Inviting them to church, connecting them with people from church. You know, as I look across the room, I can give multiple examples of people who I see do this well, who I've seen do this well. You know, I think of you, Waza, and if you get an opportunity, ask Waza about this testimony, but it's a powerful one where, you know, he was continuing to share the good news of Jesus with a friend until one day the guy came to him and said, all right, so how do we do this salvation prayer thing? Like, that says to me that he was planting seed after seed after seed after seed until that seed got watered. You know, I think of you, Mira, inviting people to church from your workplace, saying that, you know what, they need to know the hope of Jesus. There's such a passion in your heart. I see you doing that well. Ben, I think of you inviting your friends to youth, you know, organizing things at school where you want to see people hear the good news of Jesus. You know, that is the mission. That is what we called to. And as I look across the room, I know there's multiple other people, there's multiple other stories that you can share of how you are working out this mission in your life. But can I encourage you, as you outwork this mission of sharing the good news of Jesus, point number two, that you and I have a powerful message. This is no ordinary message. You and I have a powerful message to share. In verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says this, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." This wonderful message of reconciliation. See, it says on the wall, their relationship with God, grace to all. That's why we exist as a church, so people have an opportunity for restored, reconciled relationship to God. But you know, the word reconcile indicates there was separation at some point. Like if we talk about human relationships, if you reconcile with someone, that indicates there was separation at some point. But if someone is reconciled, that relationship is now restored. See, our sin, the things we do wrong, separate us from the relationship with God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be our offerings of sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." See, this is the good news of Jesus. This is the powerful message we have, that God and his great love for you and I. God, because of his grace, sent Jesus to live on the earth. He lived a perfect life. He lived a sinless life, which qualified him to die on the cross for our sin, the things we do wrong. Jesus' death, his burial and his resurrection is the pathway for reconciliation, redemption, restored relationship for all of us. So through believing in Jesus, you can be saved from the punishment that our wrongdoing deserves. We can walk forgiven and we can walk in this reconciliation. That is the powerful message that we have. That is the powerful message that you have to share with those in your sphere of influence. You know, in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians, it says this, "And all this is a gift from God." See, this opportunity for restored relationship is not earned. It's not done by anything we do or not gained by anything we do or don't do, but it's given freely because of God's great love and grace. And you know, if you're here this morning, if you're here in the room or you're watching online now at a later date, and you have not made a decision to walk in this restored relationship with God through faith in Jesus, I would love to give you the opportunity to do so at the end of this message, because this good news is for you. But you know, as I look back, church, as verse 19, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." If I look at the verse, it's almost like there's a duality of it. See, Jesus did the work at the cross. God sent Jesus down the cross. But God is also at work today, empowering us to reach people. In Acts 1:8, it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." That you and I receive power from God, from Holy Spirit, to be his witnesses. So Jesus did the work at the cross. God is at work. But the second part of verse 19, it says, "And he gave us this message of reconciliation." He gave us, he gave you and I this message of reconciliation. So can I encourage you, just as God is in working us, you and I have a responsibility. You and I have this powerful message to share. So you and I have a mission. You and I have a powerful message. Point three, you and I have a mandate. See, mandate sounds like a strong word. The dictionary defines it as a directive, a commission, an order. You know, they are strong words, but can I suggest that this passage uses strong words? In verse 20, it says this, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." In the NIV, it says this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal to us. We implore you," strong words, "on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." See, the Greek word for appeal here, it's to urge, to beg, to plead. They're strong, deliberate words. And can I encourage you, this is a mandate we have that needs to be intentional and deliberate. See, the message of following Jesus, the message of reconciliation, is not an optional extra. Has anyone here taken a budget flight? Like, you know, with a budget airline? You know, and you pay your basic fare? You pay your basic fare, and then if you want to have a meal, if you want to get more than 7 kilograms of carry-on luggage, or if you want to have a blanket or entertainment or anything like that, you have to pay the optional extras. You know, can I encourage you today that this message of reconciliation is not like a budget flight where you, it's an optional extra. You know, whether I share this message is, you know, I'm saved, I'm sorted, but whether I share this message, it's an optional extra whether I do it. This is our call. This is our mandate. It's a mandate for all the body. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, this is Jesus' words that he left with us, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. See, my friends, this mission, this message, this mandate is not the responsibility of a few. It's not the responsibility of the pastors or the leaders or the people you think are more spiritual than you and I, or the people who have this special gift of evangelism to go and preach the good news to everyone. This is our mandate for all of us as followers of Jesus. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal to us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. My friends, God is making his appeal through us to say to people, be reconciled to God. So as I wrap up this morning, who in this world are you imploring? Who in this world are you saying, be reconciled to God? When was the last time you shared your faith with someone? You know, hear my heart again. I don't mean this as kind of a heavy-handed moment, because I was challenged by that myself. It caused me to reflect. I was like, yeah, well, when was the last time I was actually deliberate in going and sharing my story or sharing what God has done in my life or sharing my faith with someone? You know, for some of you in this room, that comes really easily and you'd go and share it sort of with a neighbor. For others of us, maybe it's been a while. When was the last time when we were deliberate in asking God to put someone on our heart, you know, that you know needs to find his love, joy, and peace, then asking him to give you the opportunity to share that message? You know, in a moment, we're going to ask Holy Spirit to help us do that, to put someone on your heart, on my heart. Maybe it's a schoolmate, maybe it's a workmate, a colleague, a friend, a family member, someone who needs to be reconciled to him, someone who needs the hope and love of Jesus. Maybe they've never been reconciled to God. Maybe they once walked closely with him. But you know, they've been out of church for a while and you know they need to be restored to relationship with God. Friends, I ask you this morning, church, I ask you this morning, who in your world are you imploring? Be reconciled to God. Come and experience this love, this hope and joy and peace. Come and experience this grace and love that I experience. Who are you imploring in your world? Who are you going to be Jesus' representative to? See, I believe Holy Spirit's already speaking to us, already speaking to hearts. He may have put someone's name or a face in mind. But you know, you would have received a little cue card when you came in, and maybe it was a bit of a mystery of what we're doing with it, and we kind of kept it as a bit of a mystery. But you know, we're going to take an opportunity to, in a moment, to ask Holy Spirit for someone. For someone, there's power in the one reaching out to the one. There's power in you speaking to someone in your wall. Aaron, there's people in your workplace who need to know the hope and love that you have experienced. There is power in the one reaching out to the one. And so in a moment, we're just going to have some music playing. And I encourage you to write someone's name on there or ask Holy Spirit for a name to write. Do you know what? If you take that moment and you're like, I don't have anyone yet, that's okay. Because this week of prayer fasting is what that's about. We're going to ask God for someone that we can reach to. We're going to pray for that person, but also ask him for opportunities to invite them, to share your story, to share the good news of him. And this is not something we're doing, you know, just as a kind of tokenistic, this is an exciting thing to do. But let your heart be stirred through this week of prayer and fasting. Let my heart be stirred through this week of prayer and fasting, that there are people in my world who need to know the hope and love of Jesus. And that we would take this week of prayer and fasting to pray deliberately, to be intentional with this mission, with this message, with this mandate, and to share the good news of him as Holy Spirit leads us. But you know, next week, Pastor Ozzy will speak on the practicals of outworking this mission. But through this week of prayer and fasting, this Wednesday night at prayer and worship, we're going to spend time praying over these people. So invite you in a moment to take a moment to ask God, who am I being your representative to? Who am I imploring be reconciled to God? And then when you're ready to write that name down, you can see there's a little corkboard up the top here. When you're ready to stick that name up there, because we're going to spend the next few weeks praying over them. We're going to spend the weeks leading up to Christmas, to carols. You know, it's a great opportunity to invite people to come along, that they will hear the good news of Jesus, but that God will give you opportunities to speak to them. So as the music plays, let me just pray for us and then take that moment with God. Lord God, I just thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. I thank you that you are a God who speaks to us and you will continue to speak to us. And I just pray in this moment, Holy Spirit, I want a name. We want a name. We want you to give us someone, a face, a person, someone who you know needs your hope and love, that you will give us opportunities. You will give us wisdom. You will give us the steps. So Holy Spirit, speak to us as only you can. Guide us as only you can. We want to see people experience your hope and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Speak to them. But you know, it would be amiss of me if we're in this room this morning and there's people here who in the room or watching online, you don't yet know Jesus personally, that you haven't been reconciled to relationship with him. See, as I said in that scripture from 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ. God in his great love sent Jesus for you and I, so we have the opportunity to be reconciled to him. And you know, if you're in this room today or watching online now at a later date, if you had not made that decision to walk in restored relationship with God through faith in Jesus, or perhaps you once did, but you're very aware that you have walked away from God and done your own thing, but you know you want to be reconciled to God, I would love to lead you in a prayer that gives you the opportunity to do so. This prayer is based around Romans 10 verse 9. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to lead the church in this prayer. And if you say that, yes, I want to be reconciled to God, whether for the first time or you've been off doing your own thing, can I invite you to join in repeating this prayer with the church after me? So church, would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I declare with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that after you died, you were buried and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I choose today to turn from them and turn to you. Thank you for the new life I have in you. Teach me to follow you. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.